Did anybody do your homework? Last week I was talking a little bit about just how much the world tries to influence in just in subtle ways, just subtle ways of trying to push the world's secular view really on the world. That people that don't even really maybe have an idea, but the world is trying to push their view on them. And last week I just gave the illustration of the tea bag that I had, the tea bag there, basically it just says, be guided, listen to the whispers of the universe, right? Did anybody notice anything this past week? Anybody have? Yeah, Ms. Caitlin? Well, one, it's Disney anyway, right? they're pushing a big agenda there, but I mean, think about it, just how, you know, if you weren't noticing it, you know, didn't really notice it, but yet there, people that do know what it stands for, they know exactly what it means, and they're pushing that, right? Did anybody else notice anything this past week? Anybody? Anybody else? Jeff? Yeah, a lot of the sitcoms and stuff.
Yeah, I have one. But there was a show we watched for a couple of years, and it's been years ago. It was a guy who was a local anchorman, and it was fine. The parents were older, they'd gotten divorced, something. And all of a sudden, for no reason, this gay guy, 25 years old, shows up, and he's the best friend of the mom, who's 70 years old. Just having a gay character.
Yeah.
For no reason.
Yep. Miss Kelly?
Several commercials. We've all seen them. They'll have dad at home with his little daughter doing the laundry for his little superhero. No mom in sight. Or they'll have mom out in the workplace. No dad in sight. And then the one that really just gets me every time I see that insurance commercial where they're saying, don't grow up to be like your parents. Like, that's a bad thing.
Really? Wow.
They make a big joke out of, don't be like your parents.
Wow. Yeah, there's a huge push for single family mom, single family dad. And of course, obviously that is out there, but that's it. They're trying to make it, that's kind of the norm, you know, to be other than that is, you know, you're odd, you're weird, right? Anybody else? Anybody else notice anything? Yeah, Steve? Really? Yep. How many of you have Facebook? You have Facebook, right? Okay. Most people do, right? Some of you don't. It's fine. Instagram? Anybody have Instagram? Most people have some type of social media account. How many of your kids are on Facebook or Instagram or anything like this? This is what I came across this week, right? And this was not on my kids. This was on mine, which makes me really wonder what is popping up on my kids' accounts and things, right? This is what came up in my Facebook. Relationships can be hard. Talk about it in therapy. That's two guys. Online therapy on your schedule, betterhelp.com. Now, if that's, for whatever reason, popping up, that's a sponsored ad, somebody's sponsored it or whatever, BetterHelp has sponsored it, but if that's popping up on mine, what in the world are they targeting? Let's face it, they know who is using the different accounts. They know it. And you can say, well, you know, I check my kids' Facebook accounts. I check their friends are, and I check who they're talking to, whatever. That's great. I think that's very wise to do. But this is just a sponsored ad. Look, we sponsor ads. The church sponsors ads, right? When we have events, we sponsor ads, and those ads are to go out, and they're to pop up on people's accounts. And we don't know whose accounts they pop up on, just like these are being sponsored. Just to pop up on random people's ads. And if you think that the world is going to like, oh, you know, it's a kid's Facebook account. We're not going to, no. They are going to target kids' accounts. They're going to target their Facebook, their Instagram. And again, you can say, well, I know what they're doing. Well, again, you might be able to look and see their chat history or something like that, but there is no way to truly know everything that they're seeing on that because of all these ads and stuff that people put on there. And so, again, the world is just, they are trying to push their agenda. The world is pushing it. I mean, everywhere you look, whether it's commercials, whether it's on airlines, whether it's on Facebook, Disney, I mean, everywhere it is being pushed. And that's why it is so vital, not just for us to have a firm foundation on this cornerstone we've been talking about, but to really make sure that our kids, our teenagers, our junior high, senior high, that they really know the Word of God is our final authority. The Word of God is what we must base everything on, right? Because the world's not going to get any better. It's not going to be like, oh, we've gone too far. No, they don't go far enough to themselves. They want to keep pushing the agenda, right? this past year, my wife was at the library, and of course, it was about 2 years ago or something, I noticed that there was in June, which of course, if you know, it's like every month is now a month of to promote something, right? So June is now Gay Pride Month, right? And so in the library, in the month of June, they'll take a section, and everything in that section has to do with gay pride. And my wife made the comment to the lady there that, you know, she didn't think that was appropriate to be in the public library. I mean, you've got little kids, you know. I mean, if high schoolers or whatever, I mean, that's still inappropriate. But you're talking about, this was in the kids section. And she didn't get thrown out of the library, but the lady was very upset that my wife would say that that's inappropriate for kids. That's a public library. Now, and again, and that's right, they are going to push this any way they can. And if we don't, and look, we can, I think it's, if people said, you know, Pastor, your kids are sheltered, I would say good. Amen. I would say good. I'm glad they're sheltered. But here's the thing. We can shelter them so much that if they don't realize that the world is against them, if we don't prepare them, then when they start getting old enough to get out of the home, they're not ready for what's coming. And that's why, yes, look, if you want to accuse me of sheltering my kids, go right ahead. I got no problem with that, right? But I also want to make sure that they are prepared for what they're going to face when they get outside of the home. I'm going to do everything I can to protect them. My daughter is 20 years of age. My other daughter is 18. They're considered adults. You know what? I still check what they're doing on their phones and check what they're doing on their computers and things. You say, well, you're just a mean old person. Fine. I'm a mean old person. I don't care. But I love my kids, and I want to protect them from what the world is going to try to push on them. But at the same time, with that same protection, I want to prepare them because I'm not always going to be there to be able to protect them. There's going to be times when they're going to go outside the home and they're going to get married or they're going to go off to college or something like that. And I want them to be ready for what the world is going to push. Look, even in Christian colleges, right? You say, well, you know, and I went to a Christian college. Can I tell you something? The easiest place to get away from God is in a Christian college. It's the easiest place to get away from God because everything is about God. I mean, you're learning the Bible all the time and everything, and you're not a lot of times you're so busy, you don't really have time to have that personal time with the Lord, and it becomes very easy to get away from God. And so even in Christian colleges, it's vital that our young people are prepared, because not everybody that goes to college, to a Christian college, is a Christian. I know, I was one. I wasn't a Christian when I went to college. I didn't get saved until I was a junior in college. So just because somebody goes to a Christian college, we want to think the best, and we don't think, oh man, they're there to really learn, and they're really there to serve God. You know, there are many people that I went to college with that you would not be able to recognize them today as what is called a Christian. I mean, you would look at them, you'd be like, how did that person ever claim to be a Christian? How in the world did they go to a Christian college? I mean, they are just so far out there. And so it's so vital that we prepare ourselves and our young people to face what is going to happen, right? And so we've been talking about this idea of the cornerstone, right? And of course, Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, and making sure that everything is built on the cornerstone. Because if the cornerstone, the foundation, is messed up, everything else is going to be messed up, right? And so we were talking last week even about how reliable the Word of God is, how reliable Christ is. And that's where it's very important that you and I have a personal relationship with the Lord. We have to have that daily walk with God, every one of us, right? But if we have children and if we have grandchildren, we need to make sure that those young people understand they need to have a personal walk with God. They need to know that they can trust the Word of God. They need to know that God's Word is sufficient. And if God says it and it's right, then it's right. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. And it doesn't matter what society says, this is our final authority. This is the cornerstone that we're working to build lives upon. And just kind of, again, as we're thinking about this in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, he says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone," right? Christ is that cornerstone. And that's why when you think about the world's view and the secular view, they're just two opposite extremes, just absolute opposites. They're not even close, okay? And so we can rely on the Word of God. That's what our faith is in. But what I find really interesting is this cornerstone that we talk about, Christ being this cornerstone, well, as we saw it here in Ephesians, it's really interesting how it was prophesied in the Old Testament about Christ being this cornerstone. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, Isaiah chapter 28, in verse number 16, he says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And he that believeth shall not make haste." I mean, look what he says about this. It is a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. That's talking about Christ. That's that prophecy from Isaiah that he's talking about, this cornerstone of Christ, that we can build on Christ. In Psalms chapter 118, verses 21 and 23, he says, "I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." Again, he talks about Christ being that headstone, that cornerstone. And what does he say about it? "Which the builders refused." They didn't want it. They don't want that cornerstone. They don't want that sure foundation. And we're going to get to that in just a minute. But I wanted you to just see these different things that the Bible speaks about. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 42, and this is Jesus speaking. "Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures?" Now, I have to say, when Jesus says, "Are you not reading the Word of God? Have you not read the scriptures?" That's a pretty hard blight on the person, right? And this is what he says: "Did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Again, he's quoting Psalms. He's saying, did you not read this? Do you not know this stone that is me? He's talking about himself, that the builders rejected, and even though they rejected it, he said, it's still the cornerstone. It's still the cornerstone that can be built upon. No matter what the world says, no matter how the world rejects it, it still must be built upon Christ. So notice how the world, well, even throughout history, has rejected this cornerstone. You think about it. Who was the first person to reject the cornerstone? The first person to reject the cornerstone. Scripturally, I'm talking about Bible. I mean, the very first person. Cain was the very first one to reject the cornerstone. God said what? This is what it must be. It must be a blood sacrifice because the blood sacrifice is a picture of my cornerstone. It is a picture of Jesus Christ. Cain said, I don't want your cornerstone. I want my own cornerstone. I'm going to build my own foundation. My foundation is going to be built of works. And I'm going to do what I want. And he brought the fruit of the ground. And even God said to Cain, don't do this. And God gave him an opportunity to repent. God said, Cain, I'm not going to accept it. But if you will go and do it right, I'll accept it. Cain said, no, I'm not going to do it. Not only will I not do it, I'm going to get so mad that my stone has been rejected that I'm going to kill my brother. Did build on the cornerstone. He believed, he had faith. And that's why even in Hebrews it talks about how the faith of Abel still cries out from the grave. About his faith, right? You go on. Think about during the days of Noah. What was going on during Noah's days? Worldview. You don't think so? Go back to Genesis chapter 6. You want to talk about what we're seeing today? It's right here in Genesis chapter 6. Verse number 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You're going to tell me that's not what we're living in today? Well, they would take a cartoon for kids and try to put in bisexuality, where they would promote in whether it's cartoons or whatever it is, this homosexual movement. We're talking about kids. Where in schools, you know, now if you don't call somebody by their preferred pronoun, that's a hate crime. What is going on? Every imagination of the thought of their heart was only evil continually. You know what they said? We don't want to build on the cornerstone. We don't want to build on God. We don't want to build on what God says. We want to build on what we want. And again, think about it. At that time in the known world, before the flood, we don't know what the population was, but it was probably pretty good size. In that whole population, God could only find one man that found grace in the eyes of God. One man and his wife and his three sons and his three daughter-in-laws. That's it. Eight people. Why? Because they rejected the cornerstone. They rejected what God said. It's always been this way throughout history. The Israelites, throughout the centuries, they've rejected. God said, you're my chosen people. They serve God for a little bit, and then what do? They run to Baal. They run to Molech. They run to idols. They run to the groves. They run to all these false gods, false prophets. Why? God wasn't enough. God's not sufficient. God's not enough for me. I mean, look at what the world, look how the world is enjoying their life. Look how much fun they're having. I've never understood why anyone would think offering your child as a sacrifice is fun. That's what they were doing. They were offering their own children as sacrifices. And Israel said, we want to be like them? Because they completely rejected God. They completely rejected the things of God all throughout the centuries. What about in Acts chapter 4, verse number 10? He says, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of the builders, which has become the head of the corner." Peter says, this is the stone. The man that you crucified, Jesus Christ, he is the cornerstone. That's why he continues. What does he say? "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There's only one way of salvation. That's through Jesus Christ. Right? Remember what we said before? The reason why there's such a decline in religion in the United States of America? And the number one reason that they found was that the laity did not believe that Jesus Christ was the only way of salvation. There can be other ways. It doesn't have to just be one way. I mean, God loves everybody, so everybody can get there somehow. And what has that produced? A turning away from the things of God. Why? Because what God says isn't enough. There's got to be other ways. There's got to be something else. God's word is not sufficient. Christ, this cornerstone, rejected today. People reject Jesus and turn from truth. They make gods of their own making. Again, when you go back and you look at what all of these tribes around Israel did, they made their own gods, right? I mean, he talks about it. They would take gold and silver and form them into gods. They would take wood, they would carve wood, form it into gods. They'd bow down, worship these gods, make up names for these gods. And yet, never one time did they ever speak. Not one time did they ever hear. A couple of years ago, my wife was walking through the mall there in Richmond. Not much of a mall, but there was one time. There was a few stores in there. And she had gone in and she was asking in, I think it was the, what's the shop where you get like your nails done and your feet done? What's that called, ladies? Nail salon, thank you. I don't even know what it's called. There's like a nail salon in there where you could get your nails done and your toes done and I don't know what else. But so she was in there talking to the lady, and I don't know if the lady was Cambodian or Vietnamese or something, but over in the corner, there was a little shrine that she had in the corner, and she had, and of course, if you know culture, you know that you offer food to the gods, right? You offer food to appease the gods. And so there just happened to be the food that she was offering to the gods was some Oreo cookies. That's a pretty good god if he likes Oreo cookies, right? So she happened to have my son Malachi in tow. And Malachi was only like 2 years old. And my wife was talking to the lady, and Malachi slipped over and started eating the Oreo cookies. And my wife was like, "I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry." You know, and you know, the lady was like, "Oh, it's okay, it's okay." And I told her, I said, "What are you sorry about? That he's not going to eat them. I mean, they're just going to sit there and rot because that thing is not going to eat an Oreo cookie. I don't know, care if you put double stuff in front of him. He's not going to eat an Oreo cookie. Triple stuff, maybe. But no, he's not." See, they make gods of what they want, right? There are two major anti-Christian ideologies that people are turning to today. Two major anti-Christian ideologies. Anybody know what these two are? No, not Calvinism. Now, we're talking anti-Christian. At least in Calvinism, they at least say they believe in God and Christ. We're talking about anti-Christian. There are two anti-Christian theologies. What? Humanism is one. Anybody know what the other one is? Not quite atheism. No. The second one is liberalism. These are the two ideologies that people are just turning to by the droves. Humanism and liberalism. Humanism, what is humanism? What is humanism?
Worshiping the creation, not the creator, basically.
Okay, worshiping the creator. Creation, not the creator. You're your own God. Anybody else? What's humanism? Humanism is basically, it is, you are a God. You are your own God. So therefore, whatever you want, whatever you think is right, that's what you do. Because you're your own God. Right? That's what humanism is. Okay? Again, I think I showed this picture to you a couple of weeks ago, but here is the American Humanist Association. There's an association about it. And this is their theme. Good without God. Now, wait a minute. What is the problem with that? Think about it, really. What is the problem with their slogan, good without God? Ms. Kelly? There is no good without God. How can you have good without God?
They don't know it, but there's nothing without God.
Exactly right. There is nothing without God, right?
Good, bad, or indifferent.
See, where did right and wrong come from? God. God is the one that said, this is right, this is wrong, right? And again, it doesn't matter what society you go into. Any society you go into, you know what you'll find? There is right and there is wrong. Now, it may be a little different from society to society, right? Some societies may actually encourage something that we would say is wrong. For example, the tribe that we worked with in Uganda, the Bugisu tribe, they were known for their thievery, right? And in order to be able to marry a Bugisu woman, you had to be able to steal a goat from the father without getting caught. Yeah. Could you do it, Bob? You know, I don't like goats. You'd steal a million goats? Yeah. Brown noser. So, that's what they would have. You'd have to steal a goat from the father's goats without getting caught. And we say, man, that's horrible. Why would you encourage theft, right? Well, we wouldn't encourage theft, but when you understand the culture, you understand why they would do it. Why would they encourage someone to steal and to actually be good at it? Because if you try to steal the goat and you get caught, you can't marry her. This is their mindset. And again, they have a right and they have a wrong, right? Maybe a little different from ours, but they have a right and they have a wrong. The reason why they say that you have to steal a goat from the father without getting caught to be able to marry the daughter is because what they're saying, and this is their mindset, if you lose your job and you don't have an income, then at least you'll be a good enough thief to provide for my daughter. Well, I can kind of see that, right? I mean, if a guy loses his job and he doesn't have an income, you know, he wants to make sure that his daughter is provided for. So, you know what? Be a good thief. Now, again, that's not something we would encourage. That's not something we would encourage at all. But there is a right and there is a wrong. Right and wrong come from God. Man cannot make up what is right and wrong. Why? Because BJ might say that this is wrong, and I say it's right. So who's right now? Is BJ right or am I right? He thinks it's right. I think it's wrong. This is why, even in the Bible, after Joshua passes off the scene, the Bible says in the book of Judges that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. In other words, I get to determine what is right for me. That's what the American Human Association is all about. What I think is right is what is right for me. The problem is, what is right for you may be absolutely, totally wrong in the eyes of God. And that's why you cannot have good without God. God is the very essence of good. God is good. God is love. Yes, God is justice and God is righteous. But God, his very essence is good. That's why everything he created in the Garden of Eden, after he created it, what did he say? He saw everything that made and it was what? Good. Because that's who God is. So to be able to say we can have good without a God doesn't work. You say, well, how do you know that? Because the Bible says so. And we have to help our children, we have to help even our society to understand, look, just because you say it's right doesn't mean it's right. Because what is your basis on? What is your foundation? What is the foundation, the cornerstone that you are building on? Is it your own ideas? Is it what mom and dad said? Is it what society says? Because society is always changing. I mean, look at where we're at now compared to 30 years ago. Tell me society hasn't changed. So it's always changing. So how do we know what's right and wrong? We have to go back to the Word of God. Again, humanism is just that. It is man's own self as God. This is what they say on their website. We strive to bring about a progressive society where being good without a God is an accepted and respected way to live life. Now, here's the thing. Why are so many people turning to humanism? It's easier. Ms. Don? There's no consequences. Because if I am now my God, if I am God, then I have no consequences. I don't have to be responsible to anyone. I'm not accountable to anybody. And so now I decide whether I'm right or wrong. And so you cannot judge me for what I do, because if I determine it's right, then it must be right. What do we see in our society? Do whatever you want, no consequences. Of course, people are going to flock to that. If there's no consequences, why wouldn't you flock to that? Man, that just means I can do whatever I want to, and I don't have to worry about consequences. I don't know what, Miss Amy? Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is right for me. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
Do what feels good.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, you find those things inundated in all areas, right? Whether it's through the media, whether it's through publicity, you know, social media, things like that, commercials. It's always, what was it that you said about the commercials? Put her on the spot. Yeah, it was about the single, one's about the single parenting or whatever. Right. I thought there was something that you said, that there was something in the commercial, something that they said about that. Oh, don't be like your parents. Right. Don't be like your parents. Why? Because your parents don't know what they're talking about. Don't be like your parents. Don't follow your parents' example. That is nothing but a humanistic view. Corey? Really?
Yeah, I thought that was very profound. That's kind of something
that
America was built on.
Yeah. All right, well, so say that again. This generation...
I don't even know what it is. Gen Z, is that what they're calling
it? Yeah, Gen Z, I think.
They, as a group, don't believe they're going to have as good of a life as their parents.
Right. Huh. Well, I can tell you why. They probably won't get out of the basement. Yeah. But again, that's just where society is going, right? It's all about what you feel. That's why, you know, this whole, we had a young person that used to ride the church bus and came to church and things, and the the young person decided, and again, I don't know the whole situation. I feel like there was some pressure maybe, but the young person decided that they were not going to identify as the gender that they were born, that they were now going to identify as a different gender. And what was really, and again, this just showing you how society is, so the mom puts this out on Facebook, right, publicly. My child no longer identifies as this gender. They now identify as this gender. So please only refer to them as this gender. And if you don't have anything nice to say about it, don't say anything, because this is how we want it to be. And so you start seeing comments, oh, that's so wonderful. Oh, they're so strong. Oh, that's so great that they're able to be themselves and all of this. And all you have is all of these positive comments, because here's the thing. If you speak out against it, now you are the one that is in the wrong. You are the one that is showing hatred. So you have no opinion in this. Again, what are we doing? We're trying to be good without a God. I'm right. And if you disagree with me, then you're wrong. Now, again, let's think about it. That totally goes against this whole humanistic culture. Because you can tell me that I'm wrong, but if I think that I'm right, then I can't be wrong. I'm right. So how can you tell me that I'm wrong? It doesn't even make sense. Because now everybody has their own right and wrong. Look, you can't have a society survive where every single person has their own right and wrong. There has to be a foundation where there is built what is right, what is wrong, what is true, what is not true. Look, I don't care how many times you tell me that 4 plus 2 equals 10, it doesn't. I don't care what you say. 4 plus 2 does not equal 10. It equals 3. You say, well, you're wrong. Who are you to tell me that I'm wrong? Thank you. I'm glad I finally came out with that, right? 4 plus 2 equals 3, right? Very brave. But okay, so here's the thing. Why can we emphatically say to someone that is not true? Because there is a foundation principle that says 4 plus 2 equals 6. You cannot change it. You cannot get around it. 4 plus 2 equals 6. We have a foundational principle that says you cannot change it. You cannot get around it. This is what is true, no matter what anyone says. The problem is, instead of standing on it, we've just decided to say, okay, if you think 4 plus 2 is 10, that's okay. We'll agree with you. What happened to the truth? Bob?
Sorry, you hear people say all the time, well, that's acceptable.
Yeah. Really? Right.
My Bible hasn't changed since I bought it.
Right.
4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just this whole idea of no one can be wrong. Everyone has to be right. Right? Humanism. What's that? Yep. Yeah, that's absolutely true. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. They're forcing everybody else to play their fantasy. Mm-hmm. Right.
It's a very difficult society, and even they've been talking about TV. When was the last time you saw a television show with a strong father figure?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're all dopes. They're all idiots. They're all made out to be the idiot. Mm-hmm.
If you look at the commercials, there's more gay people than there is straight people, and it's all just a numbing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. The second thing we're going to look at here is liberalism. So what is liberalism? And we're not talking about the political movement. We're talking about liberalism, right? What is liberalism? Anybody know? Ms. Terry? What's that?
Anything goes.
Anything goes, okay, right? Anybody else? What's liberalism? So very, very close to that. Liberalism is basically open to new ideologies. There is an insistence on tolerance. That's kind of a catchword that's been made really popular lately. And those who follow it are willing to accept every worldview except God's. They accept every other worldview, but they will not accept God's view. And sadly, what is happening is liberalism is even reaching into churches and denominations. Not so much humanism, but liberalism is. These new ideologies, tolerance, right? This idea that we can accept, you know, everybody else, but if it goes against the Bible, well, we'll just kind of put the Bible to the side. We have to accept, we have to be tolerant, right? I read an article, the United Church of Canada recently allowed a woman named Greta Vosper to remain in her position as pastor. You say, well, there's a problem there. The Bible says a woman's not supposed to be a pastor. Well, that's true. The problem is that's not what the issue was. No, it wasn't that she was gay either. Greta Vosper is an atheist. She's an atheist, pastor. And this is what she said. Belief in God belongs to an outdated worldview. So the United Church of Canada was going to deal with the situation because they said, well, we can't have an atheist be a pastor. So they were going to remove her from her position. So she said, well, I'm going to sue the church. And so the United Church of Canada did a cause and effect research study, and they realized that it was actually going to cost them more to remove her, so they just said, we'll let you go ahead and remain the pastor. So here you have a woman that is the pastor. Number one, again, the Bible says women aren't supposed to be pastors. But then secondly, she doesn't even believe in God. She's an atheist. Now, again, why would you even want to be a pastor? Why would you even want the position if you don't even believe in God? But this is the thing. It's just this whole idea of trying to push God out. We don't need God. We can live without God. We don't need a God. That's old news, right? This is not what we need right now. God is mean. God will not let me do what I want to do. Well, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's not called meanness. It's kind of called responsibility. It's called growing up, right? I mean, yeah, you don't expect a two-year-old to do the same thing that an adult does, but as the two-year-old starts growing and becomes 3 and 4 and 5 and 8 and 10 and 15 and 16, you expect their demeanor to change. You don't expect them to keep acting like a two-year-old. You expect them to grow up and start taking responsibility and start doing the things that you teach them to do. But what's happening in our society is we just want to do whatever we want. We want to simply act like two-year-olds. I want my way. And if I don't get my way, then I'm going to scream bloody murder and I'm going to make you become the bad guy. You're going to be the one that is wrong because I didn't get my way. And so, again, this whole idea of humanism, liberalism, it is so big. And that's why, again, when you look at this chart here, it's just staggering to see the growth of the unaffiliated from 1972 to 2016. And again, it begins around the end of the 1990s, early 2000s. That's when it just takes off. And I don't think it's a coincidence that around that same time is when you have the internet taking off and all of this other stuff taking off. And now you have this, I mean, think about it. Almost 25 in 2018, 25% of the U.S. population, unaffiliated with no religion, don't want to be affiliated, right? And just 50 years ago, it was only 5, 6, 7%. We are in a free fall in America. And it is because, I truly believe it is because Christians and churches are not saying, wait a minute, we have a foundation. We have a cornerstone that does not change. And the Word of God must be our foundation. It must be the cornerstone. And look, please understand, I have relatives that are gay, and I love them with all of my heart. I want them to come to know Christ. I don't accept what they do because I know, according to the Word of God, it's wrong, it's sinful, it's wicked. But if my cousin was to walk in the back door right here, I'd be the first person to go up and shake his hand and give him a hug and say, man, I'm so glad to see you. I'm so glad to see you. Because and I want to be careful here. There's a right way and a wrong way to address sin. And unfortunately, I truly believe that in many of our churches, sin has been addressed the wrong way. And because of that, because sin has been addressed in a hateful manner, that it now drives people away. If you're going to show hatred, now again, do not misunderstand me. I am totally against homosexuality. I'm against the whole LGBTQ plus question mark movement, whatever, however far it goes. It is absolutely wrong. It's an abomination in the eyes of God. But God says we are to speak the truth in love. And if the Lord Jesus Christ can sit down at a table with publicans and prostitutes and sinners and show them love, knowing full well that they are without Christ and wicked and lost, and show them love, I can look at my cousin and I can say, man, I love you, and I'm praying for you, and I want you to come to know Christ. But there's no way in the world that I'm ever going to condone what you're doing. No way. People have asked, what would you do if a homosexual or a lesbian couple or a gay couple came to church? I'd be the first ones to say, welcome to First Baptist Church. You say, you'd accept them in the church? Why not? Is the church not here to try to reach people with the gospel? You say, you're condoning what? No, not condoning it at all. And here's the thing. And this is what I believe where it's causing churches harm. And by the way, we've had homosexuals come to the church before. Lesbians. And the message that I prepared for that day is the message that I preach. I don't change the message to hatred and pointing them out and beating them down and saying, hey, there's people here today that are living in sin and you know who you are. And no, I preach the message that God led me to preach that day, and I'll preach against sin, and they'll know that we don't hold to that. But I want them to know God doesn't hate them. God loves them. And God gave his son's life for them. And if they will come to repentance, God will save them from their sin just as much as he saved me from my sin. But we have had, as Christians, we have had such a hatred for sin, and we should have a hatred for sin, but the problem is the hatred has run over into the person and not just the sin. And I think that's one of the reasons why we have such a strong movement of those moving away from any type of religion, any type of affiliation of God, not wanting to know anything about God, not caring, I want to live my own life. Why? Well, those people that say that they're right, all they do is spew hatred. Look, how many of you ever heard of Westboro Baptist? You ever heard of the Westboro Baptist? Those people are nuts. Those people are wrong. Okay? Is that where we got your letter of transfer from? No, I'm just kidding. But that is what the world thinks of Christians. That's what the world thinks. That's what Christians are. These people that stand out on the corner and say, if you're gay, you're going to go to hell, and God hates you, and you deserve to go to hell, and if you're working at an abortion, you baby killers, and all of this stuff. Look, is it sin? Yes, it's sin. But people need to understand, you know what? Lying is sin too. Dishonesty is sin. Cheating is sin. It's all sin. But you know what? God loves them just as much as he loved me. And we want to make sure that our young people know, hey, you know what? That's sin. And we're going to point it out and say, you know what? It's wrong. It's sinful. You don't get near it. You stay away from it. But you know what? You can still love the person. You can still love them enough to show Christ to them and tell them about Jesus Christ so that they can come to know Christ as their personal Savior. Because we're all sinners. And every single one of us need Jesus Christ. And our foundation must be the cornerstone. And when we start looking at some of these topics that we're going to be seeing through this study, it has to go back to what does the Word of God say? What does the Bible say? It must be our final authority. Christ is the cornerstone. We want to be built on him. That's what he says. Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. And we are being built upon him. And this is what doesn't change. First Baptist Church, look, First Baptist Church can change, right? Building can change. People can change. People come, people go. But this doesn't. And that's what every single one of us have to build our lives on. That's what we have to help our young people understand. Look, you can't build your life on society. You can't build your life on what the world is saying is right or wrong. It must be built on the Word of God. Nothing else. That's when they're going to be able to say, you know what? I can face the world because I have a sure foundation. I can face what's going on out there. May totally disagree with it. But I can face it because I know what the Bible says, and I know what God says, and I know how I'm supposed to respond to it. I'm not going to respond in hatred. I'm going to respond in love and show Christ to them and pray that they come to know Christ as their Savior in the same way that you and I had the opportunity to come to know Christ as our Savior. And so this whole, man, again, I can't emphasize how much I'm so glad that they're teaching this curriculum to the teenagers and things over there and going to go through it here. But it's something that's very, very, very needful, right? But it's got to go back to the Word. Christ has got to be our cornerstone. And we are in desperate need. We are in desperate need of Christians standing on truth. Because, again, our society is not getting any better. It's not getting better. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And we need Christians to take a stand. Ms. Terry? Yeah, in Illinois. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who would have ever thought that, right? That a school would allow a satanic club. And it's in Illinois. I can't remember where it's at in Illinois. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was in Illinois. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and elementary goes up, what does it go up to? Is it fifth grade? Sixth grade? Yeah. Yeah. Can you imagine that? I mean, it's just... But you know what's sad? You know what's really sad? That's not the worst thing that's going on in schools. That is not the worst thing that's going on in schools. I see some stuff that's going on. I get emails and stuff of clips from people saying, you know, especially here in Ohio, of what's going on in this school and that school and some of the stuff that's being taught. And it's just, oh, man. And we're not, again, we're not talking about high school. We're talking about elementary kids, first graders, second graders, third graders. You know, first, second, and third graders, teaching them to have same-sex partners. Why? Because the devil wants them as young as he can get them. And it's just, it's so sad. And again, that's why it's so important that we teach our young people what the Bible says and that they have that solid foundation to build their lives on. It can't be mom and dad's religion. It cannot be. It can't just be, well, you know, that's First Baptist Church's beliefs. No, it's got to be theirs. Now, again, we can't force them to believe these things, but we have to do the very best that we can in teaching them and showing them this is what the Bible says, and we stand on the Word of God, and this is what God says, and help them to build their life on these unchanging truths that we find in God's Word, because the world is going to do everything they can to tear them apart. And it's not going to get better, right? All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for this day. Lord, we just thank you for, Lord, the truth that we have in your word, knowing that your truth never changes. And Lord, it is that cornerstone that it is sure, it's steadfast, it's a precious cornerstone. Lord, as we build our lives on Jesus Christ and on your word, Lord, that you would help us to be steadfast on it so that we can take a stand for truth and right in the world. Lord, that we might also help these young people that are growing up in church and in our homes, teenagers and young people and young adults and grandchildren. Lord, just to know that they can trust the word of God. And that is where truth comes from. That's where we get right and wrong. And what we believe is from God, because only God can tell us what is right, because only God is right. And Father, I pray that you just give us that confidence, Lord, in your word. And as we go through these things, Lord, just to know how to deal with, Lord, just this worldview that's being pushed in our society and how we can help young people and even maybe those at work or coworkers, just to be able to answer them in a way that is honoring to you and, Lord, showing them the love of Christ. So, Father, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we ask your blessings as we go tonight, and just give us a great week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.